Welcome to Witness Radio Podcast.
This is a podcast of Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Dies ist ein Podcast von
Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Klimakrise in der Pipeline.
Ein gemeinsames Projekt von
A joint project by Südnordfunk
and Witness Radio Uganda.
Listening to Witness Radio,
the new online radio that makes you happy.
ECOP is a bad project. We have talked to them several times. They do not want to give us audience.
Oh, what are you doing me? What are you doing
me? Stop ECOP!
I've been arrested in total 6 times now. Basically, our crime has always been trying to talk about the effects, about the dangers of the project that they badly want to invest in.
I didn't know the government was censoring me. And immediately after returning on the 4th of December, after returning to Tanzania, I found a summons that I was summoned to one of the infamous police stations in Dar es Salaam.
This kind of arrest, I believe, are sponsored directly by the oil companies here that we have in Uganda, including Total itself.
We want file cases against individual officers that carry out these unlawful arrests.
Stop people!
June 26th, 2024, on the streets of the Ugandan capital, Kampala, many protesters had worn orange t-shirts on which "Not to Oil" is written. They were protesting against the East African Crude Oil Pipeline Project, EACOP. Their destination that day was the Chinese embassy in Uganda to deliver a petition against the project.
That's why we have decided to deliver a petition to the Chinese government. We are going to the embassy to meet the ambassador on behalf of all Ugandans and the youth that are suffering. ECOP is a bad project. We have talked to them several times. They do not want to give us audience. If they listen to this means, let's go talk to them. We are peaceful people and they should also respect us.
30 activists were arrested that day and one of them was Bob Bariji.
I've been arrested in total 6 times now, the recent one being on the 26th of June this exact year. Basically, our crime has always been trying to talk about the effects, trying to petition, trying to report, trying to talk to government officials about the dangers of the project that they badly want to invest in. We have encountered with the Chinese embassy where we have been arrested 3 times with other activists trying to deliver a petition to the Chinese ambassador, because one of the projects, the Kingfisher project, the Chinese, through their state-owned company called CNOOC, is the one that is going to exploit the oil.
These activists not only protest against Chinese oil activities and plans, but also against those of the French oil company Total and the governments of Uganda and Tanzania. In the video from NTV Uganda, you can see the police beating the banners and bringing the protesters to the ground. Later, some of them lie on the back of a truck with their hands tied. The activist Bob Bariji is actually a chemistry and biology teacher. During a school visit to Makshon Falls National Park, he became aware of the pipeline that is soon to cross the park. He remembers his first arrest 2 years ago.
Our zeal and our commitment to see that we went to the streets to protest was a bit scary. People were disappearing, so we also thought that we would disappear. The unhygienic condition of the infrastructure, of the cells of Uganda are also scary. So it was scary in the beginning.
The arrests of Stop ECOP activists continue to make headlines. 30 arrests at the end of June, 50 people were arrested in Uganda at the beginning of August, 18 towards the end of August, and many more. Bob and other activists we spoke to reported being beaten during the arrests, while in prison and being served bad food. But the activists do not have to put up with this misconduct by the police, says lawyer Brighton Ariampa.
We want file cases against individual officers that carry out these unlawful arrests. Because we know these arrests are unlawful, and we know that if we single them out, we know this officer A and B are doing this, it is going to scare away other errant police officers who want to arrest other people. So I think it's one of the legal tools that we can also use to mitigate these arrests.
In other words, they accuse officers who unlawfully arrest them. In this way, activists use legal means to fight against their criminalization. Time and again, however, they also find themselves on trial. This has already happened twice for Bob Bariji.
They have made us seem like criminals. They have made us seem like people who are unserious. I've been taken to court twice, and the charges that they have always preferred against us are dubious and dehumanizing, because the common charge that they normally charge us is common nuisance. You are taking a report to a government body, but when you are arrested, you will be arraigned in court as a common nuisance. So that is basically psychologically and really trying to show us that really you are not good to anything.
Common nuisance, incitement to violence, and most recently, unlawful assembly are the most common accusations against the Stop AICOP activists, according to our interviewees. For lawyer Katoto Musime, it is clear who is behind the arrests.
And of course, these kind of arrests, I believe, are sponsored directly by the oil companies here that we have in Uganda, including Total itself. Yes, obviously. Most of the arrests, including on the activists themselves and the pubs that are affected by the oil projects, are sponsored directed by those companies. Because when you go ahead to follow up those cases, you find the representative of those companies also at different police stations or even attending different court sessions to find out what is transpiring about these cases. So that one is a clear and a green light to show that these companies are directly involved and sponsoring this kind of arrests.
What companies and governments underestimate, however, is that the arrests and court cases are attracting attention and more people are questioning the pipeline project. That is why the lawsuits become less frequent, says activist Bariji.
It has changed. Due to the international observations, the real harm has reduced because Total itself knows that if they keep arresting us, if they keep silencing us, the dissenting voices against AICOP, they are losing the international support. Of lately, when we are arrested, we are kept in police cells and we have not been taken to court. For the previous 3 times I have been arrested, despite the physical torture and the trauma that we go through, we have not been arraigned before court. Basically, they know that if they arraigned us before court, it would cause bad publicity for everything.
Nevertheless, it remains dangerous to speak out publicly against the AICOP project. In June of this year, Stephen Kwikiriza from the Environmental Governance Institute was kidnapped in Kampala, as reported by Zudnod Funk in July. He had been supporting French documentary filmmakers who wanted to report on the effects of the pipeline in his home region. A week after his abduction, he was dropped on a roadside injured. Kwikiriza's lawyer Katoto Musime told us the following at the time.
So, the morning of his abduction, Stephen had gone to town like on a normal day to make some shopping for his family. That's when he was abducted by unknown people that we believe were from security, because that's how security operates here in Uganda. We simply get hijacked, kidnapped, or abducted, and he was taken to an unknown place for about a week. So that's when we intervened, visited a number of detention centers that we know, contacted different security heads, and we couldn't find Stephen. So we proceeded and took a legal action and filed for a writ of habeas corpus to have him produced. And fortunate enough, before the matter was fixed for hearing, Stephen was dumped in a certain area called Chenjojo. It's about 5 to 6 hours drive from Kampala. He was dropped, but he had been tortured and beaten up. So that's where he contacted the EGIS and helped him to come back to Kampala, and he was in the hospital for about 3 days receiving treatment because of how he was tortured. His skin was full of rash, and you know, he was crying of the pains in the head and the chest. So that's how his situation was. Up to now, the UPDF denied having Stephen, the police denied having Stephen, and all the other security agencies denied having had Stephen in their captivity. So he told me that among the questions they were asking him is how he's involved and how he gets contacts from international people, including the media and the journalists, and how he was involved in mobilizing the communities against the AICOP and the Kingfisher project. So those are some of the questions. So realistically, you cannot fail to link the two. how he was abducted.
It is not only in Uganda that those who are campaigning against the oil project are living dangerously, but also in the neighboring Tanzania, through which the oil is also to flow. Richard Senkondo leads the Organization for Community Engagement there. At the World Climate Change Conference in Dubai in November 2023, he addressed the problematic consequences of ECOP in his country.
I didn't know the government was censoring me. And immediately after returning on 4th December, after returning to Tanzania, I found a summons that I was summoned to one of the infamous police stations in Dar es Salaam. That police station is typically known and it has recorded the high number of torture and the complete disappearance of people who actually criticize the government. So after I received that summons, we did an actually quick decisions, and I was ordered immediately to vacate to Kenya. So I just stayed in Kenya for more than 2 months, where actually until now I have not even been able just to reunite with my family, because there are still a lot of hauntings. There are some sort of like looking of me my way after. So this is all because we stood very firmly to challenge. We did the action in front of the Chinese embassy. I mobilized again the march action against insurance companies, but also speaking a lot to international media, and sacrificed for this work, sacrificed for the environment, and I have sacrificed for the life of my people. And this is the true meaning of becoming an activist.
Standing up against the oil project and for justice demands a lot from activists in Tanzania and Uganda, and also from the lawyers who represent Stop ECOP activists and affected community members. They too are being threatened, reports lawyer Tumusime.
And maybe speaking about them to the international media, they may write letters, because some of us have received letters that kind of, since the last back of the cases, or they prefer charges of defamation on their companies against us individually. But because we believe that the information and the knowledge we use, the evidence we use, is actually direct and correct. So even if they prefer such kind of defamation cases, we're not scared, because we have the information that is evidence-based, that is real and well known to everybody. It is in the public domain and the public knowledge that these things are actually happening in Uganda and the oil-affected area.
The aim of the threatening letters, arrests and lawsuits is to silence the voices against the oil. Activist Barige says that young people in particular are intimidated by these who still live with their parents. Women are also increasingly deterred by police, violence and social stigma.
Most of them are married, most of them have children. So, case a charge like a common nuisance is preferred against this person, it is the way that he will be viewed in community as a troublemaker, as someone that is not responsible enough to raise children. So in terms of the in-laws, we have faced that, where we have to counsel them oftenly, because if you are being arraigned before court, if you are being harassed as a woman, being arrested the way they arrest us, being beaten, bangled on police pickups, there is that kind of dignity and psychological torture that it brings to them, basically. And it has encouraged most of them, if I'm to be honest with you.
Overall, however, the Stop ECOP movement has grown in recent years. The many arrests reported in the media are therefore an encouraging sign for him.
The reason why you see more arrests taking place, the reason why you see more people are being arrested, is because of the work that we have done as activists. First of all, to encourage people to say that this can be talked about. The only relief that the Uganda authority has is to arrest us. But the movement is growing tremendously. We have students that are having a front. We are having activists that are having a front. We have a women front. We have a front from civil societies. We have so many fronts. So the movement has basically grown. The rampant arrest that you are seeing is not in terms of something that is bad. It's out of the courage that people have gotten to say that we must fight on. But in the beginning, you would find only a few people, a few courageous of us that were coming out. But now we have so many people and we have overwhelmed the government. Now it has always decided to arrest us, keep us for days, and then release us. And when they release us, we move further and we go back like they didn't arrest us. So it is a positive. Of course, we have more publicity now. he would be on social media or in the previous, in the beginning. But now we have even penetrated the mainstream media. They can't avoid talking about us.
Bob Barije has had many challenging experiences with the police and the courts. Nevertheless, in his opinion, the best strategy is to stick to the law and use it as a weapon.
First of all, we have tried to be disciplined and law-abiding as much as possible. In the beginning, people thought we were rowdy youth that were not able to digest the things. So we have been to be law-abiding. That's why we have even gone an extent of suing police officers. Despite the fact that they have a lot of power in Uganda and it is very risky, we have done that. Secondly, we have tried to involve the communities because it is their fight that we are putting on. We have also tried to give alternatives because sometimes they would not think of alternatives. We have told them it is best to have hydropower, in best of have solar energy, the renewables, and they would be cheaper compared to what is being done. Basically giving them alternatives and talking to government, saying them that instead of investing in this, we can invest in this, get the same returns, and we move on. Another thing, we have been able to build partnerships with other climate change activists and other climate-based organizations that have been able to help us in terms of legal aid, in terms of security trainings, to see that we reduce the risk for these activists that have not been able to get the courage in the first place. And lastly, we have been able to have a coalition where you have civil society organizations specializing in so many things. And this brotherly and this coming together has also been tremendous to us. That is very encouraging. If you know you have a brother that watches over your shoulder, so it encourages you to know that even when I'm fighting, even when I'm indoor, even when I'm being beaten, there is someone out there who will amplify my voice and I will be able to be rescued or further my voice.
Thank you for listening to Witness Radio Podcast.
For feedback or comments on our programs, please reach out to us on our email, radio@witnessradio.org, social media handles including Facebook at Witness Radio Uganda, our Twitter or X handle at Witness Radio, Instagram at Witness Radio Uganda, LinkedIn at Witness Radio, or send us a WhatsApp message on 0745965765.
Thank you for listening to Witness Radio Podcast.